There is going to be two sessions, kind of breaking it in. We're not drawing a real strict line here. However, the first session is more beginner, whereas the 3 o'clock session is more advanced. However, I realize there's a lot of folks here who've been using the iPhone for quite some time. But my first question I have out there is there anybody who's just getting started using the iPhone? Nobody. Yeah, realize many. Okay, one person, you're a brand new iPhone user. Oh, brand new with VoiceOver. All right. Yeah, this is going to be fairly question driven. I'm going to try to make it interactive, and a lot of what I talk about will be driven by your questions, since I've done this a few years in a row. And however, the elephant in the room is iOS 13. A lot of folks I've gotten this question: should I update my phone or should I not? And some folks have said, "Oh, it did it by itself," so I guess I'm kind of stuck with it. My simple one-line answer to that is, it depends on who you are and how you feel about technology. My little more detailed answer is, if you're thinking about updating, you may want to ask yourself, how are you with learning new things? And if it's doing what you want it to do, and you're really not one, you don't have any overriding reason to update. In other words, there's not an app that you can't use. You might want to wait a little bit and do a little research. And I always tell everyone, do a little research. There's some good resources out there if you're an iOS user that I recommend everybody take advantage of. There's a website out there called appleviz.com, and that's Apple, A-P-P-L-E, Viz, V-I-S.com. And they have podcasts you can listen to. There's this guy out there. His name is Thomas Donville. He calls himself Anonymous. And he does an excellent job. There's doing these little podcasts, and he'll take something very specific and talk about it. And usually it's some new features. Like when 13 came out, he came out and he started talking about using there's a new feature where you can use voice commands to make your phone do more things, such as even gestures and all that. And he was just a little 13-minute podcast on doing that. And then, so he would break these down. You might find 7 or 8 of these, and that he would break things down into. But the other main thing on there is they have a lot of people post questions to Apple Viz, and that's where you can get on there and find out if an app you want to use, is it accessible or not, or anybody having trouble with it, especially if it's something you want to pay for. You can find out if, am I making a big mistake, or am I going to, regret this purchase? Sure. It depends on how you project. I've actually gotten Siri to understand me from a few feet away.
National Federation Streamer Audrey SPL Club. Live Default 1. Live Default 1.
Sometimes you might get closer if you tend to talk. You want to speak quietly. You want to be up there on it. Right. And a lot of that has to do with enunciation, where if you tell Siri, you might say, I don't want to say the H-A-Y Siri because I might get everybody's phone to call Ron Brown all at the same time. That would not be a good thing, but yeah, there's, yeah, that, by the way, that is Pam Schnur's phone. Anytime you hear Country Roads, so now I just told the four people in the room that may not have known that, because everybody else knows that. Yeah, Siri is, that's one of the biggest complaints that I'll hear about Siri, is that you'll tell Siri one thing and she thinks you said something entirely different. And a lot of it does have to do with speaking clearly and enunciating, but not breaking it up too much. You don't need to go, you know, you need to say, please call Ron Brown. You don't need to do that. You just say, call Ron Brown mobile. You don't want to go, call Ron Brown mobile. But yeah, but you're, yeah, that Apple Viz will tell you that they get a lot of questions you can get answered, especially, you know, about the new iOS. You can get on there, and matter of fact, people who work with Apple quite a bit will post the new features of the iOS when it comes out, and then people get on there and give their experiences. So if your question is, yeah, I have an older iPhone, say I have an SE or I have a 7, should I update? You can get on there on Apple Viz and find out what other people's experiences are. And if you don't see what you want to see, you can actually register for an account, and then you're allowed to post your own questions that other people, and they will answer you too. If you put a question out there, folks will answer you. That is as far as a very good resource. That's like the first place I go if during the times of a new update. Now, of course, I'm one of these that personally, I'm not a .0 subscriber. I don't tend to jump on the very first. I go out there and kind of wait and see in case it's one of the, like the iOS 8 days where people were turning their phones into bricks. So I let other people brick their phones. So I learn from their experience. And but now, of course, now iOS is up to 13.1.3, so 13.13. There are some things, if some issues out there, and some in the way, once you hear about these issues, you might yet to decide whether or not you're willing to accept them, because they're annoyances, inconveniences, but they're not showstoppers. I've not had anything like that happen where the phone just ceases to work, or if you're a voiceover user, it's going to really stop you. Now, there might, like one example, say you're a person who uses Square Reader. I did hear a note that if you're using Square on that device, don't update. But now, of course, you have multiple devices. You can update the other ones, but just don't if you're using Square. Until you know, hear either by on Apple Viz or through talking to people at Square whether or not you should update. But yeah, another good resource for out there if you're new and there's a lot of things that you just wish somebody would sit down with you and say, for instance, I wish somebody would teach me how to use email or how to do iMessaging and text. So it's like, yeah, I can do it a little bit, but I really want to know how to use it. Well, there's if you go to hadley.edu, it's the old Hadley School for the Blind, is now they've got a new name slightly. And Pam might be able to tell me what it is. I always forget. It's the Hadley Institute, something for the blind and visually impaired. They've made it a little more inclusive visually, but they have a lot of podcasts on there that break things down. You have a whole list of them, and you can consume them as quickly or as slowly as you want and as many times as you want. And you go, it's just by subject. So if you're interested in learning more about using the Safari browser on your iPhone, there's a lesson for that, and you can go do it at your own pace. And they're short, they're bite-sized pieces, so it's not like you open one of those things up and you've committed yourself to hours of drudgery. You've got 30 minutes, and those are very, very handy, very nice resources to use, because I realize there's a lot of folks that will, they may know quite a bit, but they feel there's just areas they need filled in. So that is what I would suggest to start with there. Now, is there any, I thought I heard somebody started to ask a question earlier. I wanted to make sure that I get that question. Any questions out there? Oh, you were the only one. Yeah. It's V as in Victor. It's Apple Viz. That means Apple, like visually impaired service. Like, yeah, Apple V as in Victor. I as in ice cream. S as in Sam. And then, yeah, Hadley, that's Hadley.edu. How many folks have not updated iOS 13 yet?
You haven't?
There's a lot of them, yeah. That's where it's really, it is an up to you type of question. If you're one of these that you like to have the newer technology and catch, and I would, you know, right now I have no big reason to tell you not to. So you do have one? What version are you running? Which iOS build? And okay, you have the iPhone 8 and 13.13 is still doing that issue? That's a good thing to know, because that was one of the, after the in the build from iOS, you know, 1.2 to 1.3 was supposed to fix that. Apparently it did not. Yeah. Yeah, that issue he's just talking about, it's where, yeah, when you hang up from one of these calls, it goes silent. And it's voiceover hanging up, or voiceover actually freezes up on you, and sometimes all you can do is just sit there. You have to wait. Sometimes you can then hit the home button and wait a little bit, and then if you give it about a minute, sometimes you can do a triple click to turn voiceover off, which you won't hear anything even when you do that. Wait a couple of seconds and do another triple click to turn it back on, and it will come back on most of the time, but that's not guaranteed. If it still doesn't come on, you need to do a reset. You actually got to take the home button and the sleep-wake button and hold them both in, you know, for a little while, you know, for a few seconds. Normally what you do is, if you could see the screen at all until you see the Apple thing appear that you're rebooting, and then after your phone reboots, you're back into business. Or, of course, you have the newer phones, one of these X phones and the 11s and whatnot, you have to hold the arrow keys along with the sleep wake button in together, reboot your phone. Yes.
I have sometimes a on my phone. Doesn't that drive you nuts?
Yes, it does.
Because then I get embarrassed when I find a voicemail finally, and I did. Right, yeah. What makes that happen, and how do you.
AT&T's your carrier?
Yeah.
I would call and report. I'd talk to AT&T about that. Because I think that's a carrier issue, is what I believe that is. That would not have anything to do with voiceover. And I've heard of people having, that problem, even though I never have. I've gotten, I have AT&T. We get phone calls. I've actually had people leave voicemail, and immediately I get the voicemail. Huh, because, yeah, I've heard a few other AT&T people say they had that problem. However, I did hear a T-Mobile person had that problem, but T-Mobile's another, it's on a GSM-type network. That's one of those issues that are probably hard to track down, because only some people have that problem.
Yeah, and it's not all the time.
And it's sporadic, even for those that do have it. Yeah, it is. Yeah, you try to make it happen for a technician, then it'll work perfectly. It's flawless. You couldn't break it if you tried. Yeah, sometimes random issues can pop up if you're one of these who don't reboot your phone that often. It, in an ideal world, you wouldn't have to worry about this, but I've noticed that you should turn your power your phone off and power it back on at least, you know, maybe once a week. And some people, you never do it. You just don't think about it. I mean, it's not something where, oh, I'm bored. I might as well restart my phone. But a lot of times problems like that will slowly crop up the longer it's been since you've rebooted your phone, because your phone is basically a little computer, and you get memory creepage and stuff like that. So that could be, if you've noticed that problem, if it's been a while since you rebooted your phone, that could be a solution. But Yeah, there's one thing I will tell you, such as if you're probably wondering, I can cover a few of the issues that if you're considering, should I update to iOS 13 or not? Right now, there's, and none of these are showstoppers except for that the one that Mike brought up earlier was probably the most frustrating, and it's isolated to only some iPhone users, and why some are so lucky and others aren't, I'm not sure. But some of the voiceover issues that you will experience are, one of them is when you're in you're reading emails, you'll notice that as you navigate your email list, before you open emails, there you go. Now you can take note of that one and you'll know who he is. But, the complaint that I've gotten, and I've actually experienced this one, is what I call jumpy voiceover. And jumpy voiceover is you open your email client and you're in the list of emails, and you decide, okay, I'm not like the third one down, and I delete it. It might throw me back up to the top email. So now I wanted to keep the top two. I flick down. Now I'm on the third one again. I see that, and I decide, okay, that's junk mail. I want to delete it. I'm back up at the top. Normally, it should keep me at the third. I should be on the next one, but I'm not. And it could be random. I might be, maybe I was down on the 10th, and it throws me up to the 5th. Next time I get down a little further, it might throw me up to the 4th. So it is kind of jumpy, and I've actually had cases where I'm in an email and it might drop you somewhere, and it might jump right after, say I read a message and I go, okay, this is just an ad and I want to delete it after I've read it. And I find the delete button and I go to double tap the delete button. It might jump me up a line, which might be a link to unsubscribe from a mailing list or something. And all of a sudden it says, oh, do you really want to unsubscribe from this? And I'm like, no. But it's because your focus jumped on you, and that's why it does that. The other area where you get strange focus jumping is in text messages, and I've had 3 or 4 people talk to me about this one, and I've experienced it. And that's, say you have a person that you interact with quite frequently, such as like my wife and I text back and forth, like when we're at work and stuff, and so I'll have older text messages in there. Normally, the expected behavior is when I open up a new text message from her, I'm sitting down there on that new text message, and all of her older ones are above that. Well, now with iOS 13, the bug is I might be 3 or 4 messages up. So I might see something that she spoke to me 3 texts ago, and I have to navigate down. I can, I can right flick, or hyped up, then you just got to focus on it and then go down. And it's not a showstopper, it's just an annoyance. Okay, Ron's got a message or a question.
Yeah, my wife and me tried to send you a message and it went to
Yeah, that's, yeah. There is living proof that can happen. And it can wake that individual up, too. It makes for some entertainment when that happens. Okay. If you're on iOS 3, you need a new phone. Actually, I'm joking with you because it's iOS 13. Okay, are you running 13.0 still? Or are you running 13? Okay, if it's 13.1.3 is the current iteration. Yeah, I think there was, I believe, because 13. 1.1, one of the builds did have a drop call issue. Not sure what the deal was, but they claim that they fixed that issue. But then you said you have an iPhone 8? Okay, that seems to be 8 seems to have a lot of problems. Yeah, that's a real hard problem to diagnose, because sometimes drop calls are because of where you're at and what you're doing and your, you know, what sort of service you have. Yeah. If you're in a densely populated area inside of buildings with a lot of metal, you're gonna have issues no matter what. Yeah, because that's not necessarily an iOS problem, even though there was an issue with an issue like that with one of the builds of 13 early before it's pre 13.13. It was, I think, 13.12 actually fixed that. Your software's up to date. I actually heard it say that. So you're running 13.13 or 13.1.3. Yeah, so you're running you're running the latest version. I would have to guess your carrier. Does it do it everywhere, or does it tend to have favorite spots that does it? Yeah, that's not really something that I can really say, because it's not a widespread or a well-known problem. I can tell you that. All right. But you're doing it you're hitting the side button 5 times in a row. Yeah. Well, you could just hold those arrow keys in, just hold them in and hold the side button in. Don't repeatedly press them. Just hold them in and wait. And then it should reboot.
Tony, when I had that happen, I was not getting leaked. I grabbed the phone at the top and I must have hit another, but I didn't do it 5
times. Wow. I could see why, because it normally just by, yeah, that's not, that's not a good thing, because I've not ever had that issue happen. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's the bad thing about that. You're right.
I told the guy, I said, I didn't do that on purpose. There's nothing wrong. He said, right. Okay,
have it. Yeah. Right. Best thing to do if you accidentally call 911, just stay on, let them answer, and tell them it was an accident, which is what Karen did.
But
yeah, but people panic and hang up, and then they call you back. But so I would always say, if you accidentally call 911, just stay on the line and tell them it was a mistake. Yeah. That's going to have me going, I'm going to be doing some checking up on that myself to find out, because I would expect that going into your settings and turning that off, it should have turned it off.
I haven't had a problem since I did that. I didn't do it when
Yeah, never had that happen. I suspect I'm going to be hearing more about it, and it's going to be popping up. As a matter of fact, with, they've heard about it, because 911 operators they're talking about, this is nothing new to us and we understand it. At least you got a patient one on there, but I've...
They were both lying back. I was worried they could find you because it says not all...
Right, they do, but there's a difference between an accident and a teenager making a prank. Yeah, Rebecca? Yes? Okay, is this something you've just started experiencing with 13? Okay, you probably, as I say, most likely, this is if you're typing on the keyboard. As a matter of fact, 13 will even, there's an extra little feature they've added that might really discombobulate people when you're using the keyboard. Oh, you're dictating. Well, dictation, like I've always said, you need to speak clearly and enunciate. Okay. Yeah, it's where your insertion point's at. If you're, wherever you start dictating, your dictation starts where your cursor or your insertion point is. Now, on a email message, when you open the email, sometimes, and this happens a lot, and it in you may have even experienced it, I've seen it many times, it can be frustrating for the reader where you get an email from somebody and you have to wade through the previous emails because they got it at the end, and there might be this email may have been forwarded from someone else who answered somebody else who made a response to somebody else, and then your response is at the bottom of all of that, and you might have, in some cases, depending on your mood, may have just hit the delete button and not even read what they had to say, and perhaps it was important. And it may have been something you really would have wanted to hear if you ever got the opportunity. And what causes that is the insertion point got at the bottom. So when you open up an email, then you hit you get into the reply, you want to make sure your insertion point is at the top. And you can Facebook, you're kind of asking two questions there because you're talking about Facebook and you're talking about email. You're dictating. Now, if you're dictating it all at one time, I don't see how that's happening because if you are dictating and you dictate, say, two sentences and then you do a two-finger double tap to stop the dictation and so you can think about what you want to say, and then you do another one to continue, it's possible your insertion point jumped, especially if you accidentally touched the screen somewhere after you did the two-finger double tap. You very well could have touched something else, and your insertion point could be in some random spot. It could have jumped to the top or beginning of your message, and then you speak your next sentence, and it's going to be inserted at the beginning of what you had already put on there, and then so that's going to have it out of order. Part of it's practice, and part of it you may have to, if you think it jumped, if you're in an edit box, in a line where that's editable, you touch that, make sure you're in that, and then you can double tap it, and a lot of times alternatively, kind of a weird word, it'll alternate. If you double tap it once, it'll say, it'll tell you you're at the beginning. And if you double tap it again, it'll tell you you're at the end. So, yeah, it'll move, start, end. So that's the easiest part. Now, of course, if you really wanted to stick something in the middle on purpose, you would then need to navigate by word or character, forward or backwards, to where you want to be. Yeah. But if you're at all in doubt, make sure, you explore your screen. Make sure you're in the box where you're on that, where you're updating the status, and then double tap it until it says, it tells your insertions at the end. If it says, and then, once you hear that, then you can then do the two-finger double tap or go down and find the dictate button, double tap that, and start speaking again. But yeah, that does take practice, and that's probably what's happening. Now, if you're dictating it all at one time and it's doing that, it could be that you're trying to dictate War and Peace into a Facebook status, which doesn't work very well. Yeah, right. There, you can put a lot. I don't know what the limit is, because I know you can put quite a bit. Yeah. I have seen some very lengthy posts that went on quite successfully. Yeah? It's telling you it's not downloaded? Yeah, you might want to call Apple support on that one. I'll tell you, I am not an Apple Music subscriber, but normally anything you've purchased through Apple Music, especially if you made a purchase, it should let you listen to it offline. Now, if you're an Apple Music subscriber, you should be able to listen to anything in their library. You stream anything. You can stream all their music at any time. It's very similar. And then, all right. Carla, I think, has another question.
An insertion point. So one of my modems,
yeah.
It will move the over because then I have
to. Yeah, there's actually been that's always been a risk, a problem, but there's a new thing. Right. They added another feature to the keyboard, because used to, what would happen if you left your finger in one spot, and this is actually, it's a good feature if you know why it's there, and you can practice not letting it happen, but you can, and what there was you would, if you say you were on the letter N, and you left your finger on, now if you left your finger on the N for a little bit, it would say, it would give you like a word, so you would know N, November. So it would tell you that, so you go, that's an N, not an M. Now, if you let off of it right away, you're fine, but if you stayed on there just a smidge more, what it does is it goes into alternative character mode. Yes. And what alternative character, that's actually, say, I wanted to write, si, senor. And I was on there, right, in Spanish or whatever you're typing, S-I, and I'm going, wait a minute, I want an N-Y. So I would type in, you would lay on the N for a little bit till it went into the alternative. And then you'd slide your finger around, and you might see a couple of different N's, and when, like, the accented N, you could then you'd hear that, and you would let up, and now you would have the accented N. Or the same thing, like, for an A, you know, an A acute or an E acute. So if you're typing, you know, other languages, it was a very, very great feature. But now to muddy the waters, what they've done in iOS 13 is there is a slide to type feature, and they make it kick in even quicker than the other one. And what that does is, say I want to type the word hello using the slide to type, you would land on the H, and it only gives you about a second, and then not even long enough to hear the H hello or whatever. It goes into that first thing, and it slide to type. And what you're supposed to be able to do is now move your finger, like, just move where you think the E is, and then quickly move over to the L, and then you'll start hearing it say words. Like, you move it, you might hear it say he, and then you go over to the L, and it might actually already guess and say, oh, you want hello. And as soon as you hear hello, you take your finger off. And if you were to type a space or a punctuation mark, it would then finish, it would have the word hello in there. Now, that's what that's for. However, that may not be what you wanted to do. Now, you can go into your voiceover settings, and you can change I think that's like 1 second. I went into mine, and I changed it to 2 seconds. So it gives me the time to actually hear the phonetic word. So that's what I did. Now, thankfully, because if it jumps into that and you keep your finger pressed for just a little bit longer, it will then go into the alternative character. So you could, if you wanted to type words that had accents or whatever, you wanted to type some Spanish or German words or French words or whatever, you could do so with the proper accent marks. So the best thing, like Carla, in your case, is going into your voiceover settings and, yeah, making that, changing that delay. And it starts out 1 second, and then I think it moves like by either 1/10 or 2/10 of a second. You can flick up and change and move it up to 2 seconds. And you can pick whatever. If you want to tweak it more, you say, okay, I'm really slow, and I just, especially before I've had my coffee, you can make it 3 seconds for that matter. You can set it to whatever you want. Yeah, that is, and with that slide to type feature has really thrown people off, because I think it used to be almost 2 seconds to get the alternative characters before, and then the slide to type, they set that to 1 second, which personally I felt was too quick. And I think even a couple of one of the guys on Apple Viz, when he actually talks about that feature, he actually recommends people to go into their settings and lengthen the delay a little bit, just because it is a little too quick for a voiceover user. If you're not a voiceover user, it's great. Supposedly, if you see the screen well, yes. Yeah, you can delay it, and it's recommended that you do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would be an annoyance. You just back up. You know, you'd have to hit the delete key and back out and try it again. But the main reason, you know, I strongly recommend that anybody who does a lot of touch typing do the make it extend it, because it's when it's too short to actually hear the phonetic word, it's too short, because there's many times I'll sit on the M or the N, and I want to hear it say November or Mike, because I want to know that I'm typing the right. Yeah. Otherwise, someone asked me what I had for breakfast this morning, I might tell them Pam cakes. I had to get that in there.